Chapter 18. What do you get when you cross an Ewok with an astromech droid? A short circuit. Jason Solo, age 15. As Jaina hurried toward the lift tube, she noticed that the catwalk was gradually emptying ahead of her. No one seemed to be panicking to get out of her way, or even paying her much attention. But while there were plenty of nurses and orderlies entering patient cells, none was emerging. Only the droids seemed to be going about their normal business, wheeling medicine carts from door to door, or popping into and out of cells with electronic chart pads in their hands. Jaina feared for a moment that someone had heard Myrta's blaster shots, or noticed the absence of her guards and triggered a security alarm. But the mood seemed to be more nervous than frightened, and when she passed an open door, those inside did not look away or pretend to be busy. They simply watched her pass with vague interest, as though they were wondering who she was that she didn't feel the need to take shelter from the coming storm. And that was just what she was sensing, Jaina realized, the fear of approaching turmoil. A general hush had fallen over the entire wing, and the force had gone electric with anxiety. She glanced through the safety mesh and saw that even the main deck of the infirmary, where the waiting area for the busy exam rooms was located, was gradually emptying. Jaina stopped at the next open door and poked her head into the cell. Inside, a female Faleen was working under the watchful eye of two black-armored escorts, changing the bandages of a Bothan male missing both arms and a leg. Judging by the smoothly scorched stump that the nurse was currently disinfecting, it appeared that he had lost the three limbs to lightsaber strikes. "Another assassin," said a guard, noticing the object of Jaina's gaze. "Don't know why the Bothans keep sending them. Kytus just cuts them up and sends them down here."
"Something we can do for you, Captain?"
asked the other, the older of the two.
"Yes, thanks."
Jaina tore her gaze away from the Bothan, wondering if that was how she was going to end up.
"Can you tell me why everything is getting so quiet? Is the Anakin Solo in trouble?"
"The Anakin Solo's doing fine, ma'am," the guard said. "The last I heard, the Megador had those Hapen Scolds on the run, and we were getting ready to jump with the rest of the fleet."
"You must not do much duty in the infirmary," the young guard added. "It always gets like this when Darth Maniac is around."
"Darth Maniac?"
Jaina's pulse began to pound in her ears.
"Kytus is here? In the infirmary?"
"Yes, ma'am."
The older guard scowled at his young companion, no doubt misinterpreting Jaina's surprise as disapproval of the nickname.
"Word is, he's in the scanning booth."
"Coming up here?"
Jaina asked, thinking of Myrta and the obvious attention Kytus had been paying her.
"In the middle of a battle?"
The guard shrugged.
"Maybe not this time. They say he's got a body with him, so he could be headed to the disposal pit."
A body in the prison hold. Jaina thought of Isolde and made the most likely assumption, and her heart sank. She backed out of the cell without thanking the guards, then started down the catwalk as fast as she could move and still be walking. She tried not to imagine what had happened, but the answer was too obvious to ignore. After the blood trail went dead at Ouroro Station, Kytus had no doubt resorted to his favorite trick and tortured the information out of Isolde. Now the prince was dead, and the fleet was preparing to jump to Shedu Mod. Truly, there was no low to which her brother would not sink. As Jaina walked, she concentrated on vanishing into the Force and stayed near the inner side of the catwalk. She didn't know quite how Kytus's blood trail worked, but she suspected it would be stronger when they drew near to each other. And if his danger sense began to tingle because she was focusing on him too intently, he would know she was closing in. Once Jaina reached the lift tube, however, she allowed herself a quick glance down to the main deck. Five dark figures were escorting a hover gurney around the disposal pit toward a cargo lift at the far end. Four of the figures were armored, and the fifth was raising his hand, signaling the others to stop while he craned his neck back to look around. Jaina pulled away and focused her mind on Zek, on the hope that he was still alive, because she hadn't felt him die, on how much she was going to miss him if he had. And she thought also of the terrible likelihood that she would never know what had happened to him, that he had managed to go EV before his Stealth X was destroyed, then been swallowed up by the mists. Even with an active rescue beacon, he would be nearly impossible to locate with normal equipment. The mists would simply devour the sensor waves. If Zek or his body was going to be found, it would be by a Jedi. Hoping she would live long enough to help with the search, Jaina stepped into the lift tube and began her descent. She had no idea whether focusing on Zek had worked. Maybe Kytus had dismissed whatever he had felt as the glare of an unhappy subordinate. Or maybe he would be waiting, lightsaber in hand, as the lift door opened. Jaina only knew that if he had felt even that brief glance, she could not risk another. She emerged from the lift with her lightsaber semi-hidden behind her forearm. To her relief, the only thing waiting was an MD droid about to step into the tube.
"Lord Kytus and his escorts, did you see them going toward the disposal pit?"
"Why, yes, Captain," the droid replied politely. "They had a body with them. Prisoner AS-23052-R, I believe."
"Would that be Prince Isolder?"
Jaina asked.
"I believe that was his name, yes," the droid replied. "The poor man. It looked like Lord Kytus had snapped three of his cervical vertebrae."
"Thanks."
Jaina started across the deck toward the cargo lift, her anger boiling in her stomach. Then something the droid had said caught her attention, and she spun around to ask,
"The prisoner's neck. How do you know it was Lord Kytus who snapped it?"
The droid stopped inside the lift and turned to face her.
"It always is, Captain."
The MD droid pressed a control button and ascended out of sight. As Jaina started toward the morgue lift, a stern female voice suddenly echoed across the main deck.
"Your attention! All prison hold surveillance and communication systems have been restored. Maintain lockdown level 2. We'll be jumping to final objective in 5 minutes. Repeat, 5 minutes. This will be your final announcement."
The final objective would be Shedu Mod, Jaina knew. She couldn't say whether killing Kytus would prevent the assault on their base. She kind of doubted it, as a matter of fact. But it might confuse things enough to give the Jedi a fighting chance. Recalling the surge of force power she had experienced when she fought Kytus the first time, Jaina wondered if she should reach out to her Uncle Luke when the fight began. Perhaps he would be able to bolster her strength as he had on Nickel One. But then she recalled Myrta's comment about her brother underestimating her, and she realized that calling on Luke would be a mistake. From what Myrta had said, and what she had observed herself on Nickel One, Kytus was obsessed with their uncle. He would be ready for Luke's strength, prepared to see through Luke's illusions as he had not been the first time. If Jaina expected to win this fight, she would have to fight in a different way. Her own way. She stepped into the cargo lift and descended. There was a growing stench of disinfectant and hot metal, and the air grew warm and still. When she reached the morgue level, she was tempted to use the Force to probe for the location of Kytus's guards. She resisted. Either the guards were waiting for her, or they weren't. And if they weren't, she would only be giving Kytus a warning he did not need or deserve. The door opened into a rectangular corridor, wider than it was tall, with gray durasteel walls and a long row of hatches running down one side. The four guards were standing about 10 meters away, in front of a single hatch on the opposite side, looking back toward the cargo lift. There was no sign of Kytus. Presumably, he had gone through the hatch behind the guards. Jaina hurled herself onto the floor, rolling toward the four and shrieking softly but shrilly. They swung their blasters around, letting out curses of surprise and confusion. Jaina rolled to a knee about 3 meters in front of them and pointed back toward the lift.
"Bothans," she stammered.
That was all it took. The guards raced past her, bringing their blaster rifles up to fire. Jaina sprang up behind them and ignited her lightsaber, then used a single stroke to cut all four men in half. The fight had begun. The biodisposal pit was just what the name suggested, a sweltering, foul-smelling durasteel hole into which poured all of the dirty bandages, used scalpels, excised organs, dead bodies, and other hazardous waste from not only the infirmary, but the Anakin Solo's entire prison hold as well. As might be expected, it was a relatively quiet and lonely place. Half cloaked in shadow by the overhanging expanse of the main deck, and half illuminated by the harsh brilliance spilling from the open mouth of the fusion incinerator. Having left his guards on the other side of the hatch, where they would not witness the gross violation of prison procedure he was about to commit, Kytus was left to pull his shoulder by himself. As he dragged the hover gurney toward the fusion incinerator, an overqualified GP-2 medical droid rushed out of the shadows, holding a dripping scalpel in one hand and waving the other in a frantic gesture to capture his attention.
"No, no, no," the droid said. "That corpse hasn't been identified yet."
The droid pointed its scalpel into the shadows, but before it could explain what it wanted, the stern voice of a female security guard came over the public address system.
"Your attention! All prison hold surveillance and communication systems have been restored. Maintain lockdown level 2. We'll be jumping to final objective in 5 minutes. Repeat, 5 minutes. This will be your final announcement."
The GP-2 continued to point until the announcement was over, then said,
"Put it there until I can collect a tissue sample and verify the identity."
"That won't be necessary in this case."
Kytus started to continue toward the incinerator, then felt the skin-blistering heat pouring from its mouth and pushed the gurney toward the droid.
"This one goes directly to the incinerator."
The droid accepted the gurney.
"I'm afraid that isn't procedure,"
it said, retreating into the shadows with the gurney.
"Thank you for the delivery."
Cursing the slavish devotion to procedure of mechanical minds, Kytus followed the droid and was temporarily blinded as his eyes struggled to adjust to the darkness.
"In this case, procedure doesn't apply,"
Kytus said.
"It's overridden."
Something hard brushed past him. Then the droid demanded,
"On whose authority?"
"Mine."
Kytus turned, following the voice, and found himself squinting as he watched the droid's silhouette pull a flimsoplast carton off the conveyor belt, inspect the contents, and thrust it into the incinerator's mouth.
"Lord Kytus."
"Lord Kytus!"
The droid returned, moving from bright light to deep shadow as effortlessly as only machines could. It fixed its photoreceptors on his face for a moment, then said,
"Identity confirmed. Prisoner AS-23052R will be disposed of without identity verification or tissue sample collection."
The GP-2 returned to the gurney it had been working at and jabbed a 10-centimeter needle into the half-bald corpse of an emaciated Wookiee.
"Thank you for the delivery."
Kytus gritted his teeth. Maybe he should have just used the Force to feed the prince's body into the incinerator himself. Except the droid would probably have rushed over and pulled it out half-burned. After a moment, he said,
"This matter takes priority over all others. I need to witness the disposal myself. Now."
The droid's head snapped around.
"Is there a contagion concern? Because if there is, the collection of tissue samples cannot be overridden, even by—"
"It's a security matter,"
Kytus said.
"Do it now."
"Very well."
The droid set its syringe down on the Wookiee's gurney, then went over to his shoulder and began to cut the clothes off the body. Kytus did not object, suspecting it would take longer to argue the matter than to simply let it happen. After a moment, the droid paused to study a soldier's arms.
"Oh, I see," it said. "The tissue samples have already been collected."
"What?"
Kytus went over to the gurney.
"Show me."
The droid turned both of the prince's hands up, revealing half a dozen bruises and needle marks on the interior of the forearms. There was a muffled scream in the corridor outside, but Kytus could barely hear it over the fiery roaring in his ears. He did not need to ask what the marks meant, because he had seen similar marks on Myrta's arms after the remnant medic collected her samples for the Nanakiller. The marks meant that Lesserson and the Moffs had betrayed him, and his vision. They meant that Alana's Nanakiller was probably already on its way to the Dragon Queen. Kytus pulled his comlink and opened a channel to his aide, Orlop.
"Have a hold placed on all launches from the Anakin Solo,"
he ordered, turning toward the door.
"And find out if we've launched any missile boats recently, especially missile boats carrying remnant forces."
There was an uncomfortable pause. Then Orlop asked,
"Did you say missile boats?"
Kytus's stomach went cold.
"Tell me."
"A missile boat just launched from this hangar,"
Orlop reported.
"I had to wait for it to clear the containment field before I blew the beam racer."
"What about the crew?"
Kytus asked.
"Were they ours?"
"They were in Alliance uniforms,"
Orlop reported.
"New uniforms. And a remnant colonel saw them off. Shall I have a recall order issued?"
"It's worth a try, but they won't obey."
Kytus came to the door, and lacking a second hand to reach for the control pad, stopped to finish his order.
"Have my StealthX prepped for immediate."
He let the sentence trail off as the door opened on its own, revealing a dark-uniformed woman with an athletic build and brown, furious eyes.
"Jaina."
A lightsaber snap hissed to life, and suddenly Kytus felt as though he were going to vomit fire. The invisible fist of a Force blast slammed Jaina in the chest and sent her flying back, her breath groaning from her lungs and her lightsaber hissing free of Kytus's stomach. From the fight on Nickel One, she had learned the dangers of letting her head snap back on impact. She tucked her chin, then fought to hold it there as she struck the durasteel wall on the far side of the corridor. Jaina almost wished that she had been knocked unconscious. Stinging needle thrusts of pain zippered down her spine as her vertebrae rocked beneath the impact, and the synth mesh supporting her half-healed ribs came apart in a single agonizing pop. She dropped to the floor, fighting to keep her pain from carrying her down into numb oblivion, gazing back to where she had surprised Kytus. Where Kytus still stood in the doorway, his mouth gaping in surprise, with a thumb-sized scorch hole just below his ribs. But he was still standing. Jaina's pain-clouded mind did not understand how he could take a lightsaber through the gut and do that. Why didn't Kytus just lie down and die like most people? Didn't he understand she was trying to do him a favor? Apparently not, because as soon as she began to gasp for breath, his hand shot up. The fingers splayed and pointed in her direction. Jaina barely brought her lightsaber around in time to absorb the forks of blue lightning that came dancing toward her chest. Then Kytus stepped forward, the force lightning still shooting from his fingertips. Jaina could not believe what she was seeing. With that wound, he was coming after her. She fainted in an attempt to roll to her knees. When Kytus shifted the lightning to block her, she brought her free hand up and gestured toward his shoulder, using the force to hurl him back through the door. A loud thudding crash sounded from deep in the shadows, and the voice of an annoyed droid began to complain about the mess. Jaina was instantly on her feet, springing through the door, but Kytus was just as quick, forgoing his force lightning in favor of his lightsaber. She saw a fan of crimson light arcing toward her out of the dark side of the pit and spun toward it, blocking and kicking in the same move. Kytus grunted as her boot caught him somewhere above the waist, but behind his crimson blade, he was no more than a gray blur, and it was impossible to tell where the kick had landed. A black boot heel came shooting under Jaina's guard, driving hard into her sore ribs. She stifled a cry and circled into the shadows, trying to acclimate her eyes to the darkness, because it was impossible to sense Kytus in the Force. He fought to keep his advantage, dancing back and forth behind his crimson blade, anticipating her every move, and making her pay for each step with a painful kick or elbow strike. Knowing that sooner or later one of Kytus's blows could be fatal, Jaina risked a quick look around, searching for something she could force hurl. The dark side of the pit was black. She could see nothing in there, and the bright side of the pit was so glaring that she could see only the white glaring mouth of the fusion incinerator and the conveyor belt that fed it. Kytus made her pay for the survey in blood, landing a pommel across her cheek that split the flesh and smashed the bone. Jaina countered with a driving knee to the thigh, then a downward slash that Kytus barely turned in time to save his hand. A flimsoplast crate emerged from the conveyor belt chute beside them. It wasn't much, certainly not heavy enough to do damage, but it was all Jaina had. She gave a little ground, allowing Kytus to force her toward the door so she could let the crate move past him and bring it flying into him from behind. Then the dark shape of the pit droid came clanking out of the shadows. "Excuse me, please," it said. "I must inspect—" That was as much as it said before Jaina grasped it in the Force and drew it stumbling into Kytus's flank. The droid was more than heavy enough to send Kytus staggering. He whirled instantly, bringing his blade around at shoulder height. By then Jaina had slipped into the shadows and was lunging forward, her shoulders back, but her boot heel driving in under his lightsaber. Once again Kytus anticipated her. He spun around, leaning away to protect his vulnerable midsection and bringing his leg up to counterkick. Jaina force-launched herself into him anyway, whipping her lightsaber around in a down guard to keep his blade at bay. His counterkick landed first, driving into her stomach with a deep, sharp ache. Her stomp caught him on the hip and sent him falling onto the conveyor belt. The flimsicrate burst at the seams as Kytus's shoulder and head came down on top of it. Jaina leapt in to press the attack and was stunned by how quickly he popped back up. There were more than a dozen used syringes hanging from his shoulder and face. He barely seemed to notice. Letting his lightsaber deactivate and drop to the floor, he reached toward her, making a twisting motion with his hand. Jaina felt her chin twisting around and went with it, using the force to accelerate her whole body into a spin, still leaping toward Kytus, bringing her lightsaber around in a clearing arc. She felt the blade meet metal, and the droid's ebony head popped into the air. Then she was on Kytus, slashing at his head with her lightsaber, bringing her boot toe up under his chin when he grew predictable and ducked. The kick snapped Kytus's head back and sent him tumbling over the conveyor belt. Thinking she had just won the advantage, Jaina dropped her free hand toward the lightsaber he had let fall, then barely saved her arm when the crimson blade snap hissed to life and went spinning past. Kytus's hand shot up on the other side of the conveyor belt and caught the hilt. Then the rest of his body slowly rose into view. His flesh was bulging around the scorch hole in his abdomen, and there were half a dozen syringes planted in his face almost to the barrels. He was in obvious pain, and he was feeding on it. His eyes were bulging and maniacal, his nostrils red and flaring, his lips drawn back so far it almost appeared that he didn't have any. Jaina brought her lightsaber to high guard and braced her feet, ready for Kytus's attack. Instead, he deactivated his blade.
"Jaina, listen to me."
There was a throaty, gurgling quality to Kytus's voice, and it seemed obvious that the only thing keeping him on his feet was force energy. A lot of it.
"You need to get out of my way. I'm trying to save Tenel Ka and Alana."
"Sure you are,"
Jaina scoffed. As she spoke, she extended her force awareness in all directions, trying to figure out why Kytus was stalling when his body was running out of time.
"Just like you saved Isolde."
"Isolde would have made the same choice. In fact, he did."
Kytus clipped his lightsaber to his belt, a trust-building gesture that might have had some meaning had he not been a lying Sith murderer.
"Jaina, we don't have time for this."
"So die already."
Jaina launched herself into a force flip, tumbling over the conveyor belt head down so that she could strike before Kytus had time to unclip and ignite his lightsaber. Kytus didn't even try. He simply glanced toward the open mouth of the fusion incinerator. In the next instant, Jaina felt herself rushing toward its searing heat, and it took all her force strength to pull herself aside the half-meter that saved her life. But the durasteel into which she slammed was still scorching, and the pain of impact was nothing compared to the sizzling shock of merely contacting the furnace exterior. She dropped to the floor, screaming in rage and anguish, her nostrils filled with the stench of singed hair and charred skin, the black GAG utilities still burning on her back. Then Jaina opened herself fully to the Force, drawing it in through the power of her emotions, not through her anger or pain, as a Sith might, but through her love of what her brother had been. The teenage jokester, who could always find hope in a desperate situation. The questioning warrior who had bested the Yuuzhan Vong Warmaster in personal combat. The reluctant champion who had shown a galaxy the way to compassionate victory. The Force came pouring in from all sides, saturating Jaina and devouring her, filling her with a roaring maelstrom of power, carrying away her pain and leaving in its place the strength not only to survive, but to rise and fight. Kytus was already on the far side of the conveyor belt, pulling the syringes from his face and shoulder while he staggered toward the exit. Jaina used the Force to depress the control pad, and the door closed in his face. Kytus whirled with fury in his eyes, but Jaina was already bounding over the conveyor belt, her hair still trailing smoke. He splayed his fingers and sprayed force lightning at her. Jaina caught it on her lightsaber and whirled past, bringing her blade down where Kytus had been an instant before and leaving a long gouge in the door. Kytus's blade snapped to life beside her, a crimson fan whirling toward her shoulders. She dropped to her haunches and used her free arm to block the force-driven snap kick she knew he would launch at her throat. Ankle met arm with a sharp crack. What looked like an extra joint appeared in the middle of her forearm. Then her wrist flopped over Kytus's leg, a useless throbbing thing no longer under her control. It didn't matter. Jaina was a dead woman if she didn't win this. Maybe even if she did win. She whipped her lightsaber around in a high block and deflected the reverse slash Kytus was bringing down toward her neck. Then she dived forward, whipping her violet lightsaber at his other foot. Kytus sprang away backward, trying to draw both feet out of harm's way at once, and countered by flipping his own weapon around, bringing it up beneath her belly. Neither blade cut deep, but both did damage. Jaina felt a searing pain across her abdomen, then felt a terrible uncoiling inside her as something she didn't want to think about bulged into the void left by the slashed muscle. Jaina's blade tapped Kytus behind the boot, touching just long enough to sever the crucial tendon running up the back of the ankle. He landed in an awkward stagger, nearly falling as his foot flapped and flopped without any control. Jaina came to a knee facing him and knew Kytus was about to die. He had one arm and one good leg, and they were not even on the same side of the body. He could not pivot, and he could not retreat. All she needed was to get past his lightsaber and attack the armless side of his body, before she collapsed herself, or he recovered enough to kill her with one last force blast. Jaina sprang. Kytus tried to turn to meet her, but only staggered, his lightsaber falling to his side as though it were a cane. It wasn't, of course, and his momentum kept him stumbling back toward the bright side of the pit, his eyes filled with rage and exhaustion and despair. Jaina fainted at his head, then began to whirl toward his armless side, bringing her lightsaber around in a flat, high slash that he could not hope to block. It was a sure kill, one that would land even if she died first, which she thought she might, since the attack would leave her completely open to an avenging counterstrike. But Kytus seemed to know that Jaina had already killed him, and whatever he had in mind, it was not vengeance. When her blade came around, his lightsaber was still hanging at his side. He was staring up toward the ceiling, his gaze fixed somewhere far beyond the murk overhead, and the only attempt he made to save himself was to take one step back into the light spilling from the furnace. It would not be enough, Jaina knew. She closed her eyes and felt the lightsaber sink in, felt it slicing through his ribs into his chest. And Jaina felt something in the force, too, something that made her pulse stop and her chest sink, and her blood freeze in her veins. Her brother was reaching out to Tenel Ka, screaming at her through the force, warning her there was danger, urging her to take Alana, and then the blade reached Kytus's heart, and he dropped at her feet, and Jaina felt nothing at all.